Shalom and welcome to the Voice of One Witness radio broadcast. I'm Shelley Brim, Billy Brim's oldest daughter, and I'm here to share with you a subject that's been burning in my heart, especially in the light of all that's going on in our nation. And it's from a book by Robert J. Morgan. We will offer this book at the end of the broadcast, and it's entitled 100 Bible Verses That Made America Great, Defining Moments That Shaped Our Enduring Foundation of Faith in This Nation. We began last broadcast with chapter 31, where we're talking about Samuel Adams. He was the voice, the moral voice of this America, early days of the Revolutionary War, when the Brits had overtaken Philadelphia and George Washington had been defeated at Brandywine and his ammunition was soaked and his men were dying of dysentery and things looked terrible. And so when the Continental Congress regathered, only about 20 of them regathered, and they were sad. But thank God for a man of faith. Thank God for a man who put value on the Word of God in his personal life, because we know from Romans 10, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, 10:17. And so Samuel Adams had put faith in the scripture found in Proverbs 18, verse 10. The name of the Lord is a strong tower, and that word in Hebrew is Migdal. You may have heard through Billy Brim Ministries, if you're familiar with our ministry, we're building a Hebrew prayer and learning center in Magdala, Israel, but it is also Migdal. That's the name of it, Migdal Tower. And so going back to Samuel Adams, he gave a speech that was absolutely wonderful. It's worth repeating just a little bit of it. I can just see him. His audience are this sudden, depressed Continental Congress people, and you can't blame them. Bad news. And I mean, look at this. He says, gentlemen, I'm trying to do my best Samuel Adams voice. Gentlemen, your spirits appear oppressed with the weight of the public calamities. Your sadness of countenance reveals. But if we wear long faces will become fashionable. God forbid that long faces become fashionable in the body of Christ. Hallelujah. Now, do you remember this book? And I feel as if you know Mom, you know Billy Brim, you know this ministry, and the book by John A. McMillan entitled The Authority of the Believer. Do you remember Mom saying things like, you need to read page 26 or 27 every day? Well, from this book I have in my hands, there is a one of my favorite, in fact, I've worn four of these books out. And there is a portion talking about the victory of my countenance. Now, remember, we don't want sad countenances to be fashionable in the body of Christ. But we have the sure word of God to help us with the victory of our countenance. So if you'll turn with me, please, if you can, to the 42nd Psalm. And I have my little pocket Bible right here on my lap. And the 42nd Psalm, oh, you have read it, I'm sure, many times. It starts out, as the deer panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. But in this psalm, there is a phrase that's mentioned twice for double emphasis. And it says this in verse 5, why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? What's the answer? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Now in this same verse, same chapter, verse 11, why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? What's the answer? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. In the Hebrew, it says, God is the victory of my countenance. So going back to Samuel Adams, when he's addressing this Continental Congress, who was in despair, God is the victory of Samuel's countenance, and God is the victory of ours. The saint who has learned that the Lord himself is the victory of his countenance confronts calamity fearlessly, whatever the situation may arise, knowing that nothing can prevail against the will that is linked with God. A firm and positive refusal that the enemy shall have any right to work in the life or the body or the circumstances, this refusal will bring the foe to a standstill. And as this attitude is maintained in quiet faith, a change will come, and the attacks will lose their force. However distressing the assaults, it is possible for faith to ask of his inner life, why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted in me? And to calm himself with the sure, certain assurance, here's the answer. This is how we calm ourselves. Await God, for I shall yet praise him. Why? Because you, Father God, you are the victory of my countenance. Hallelujah. And you are my God. So, the conflicts in our churches in which neither party will give way and which lower the spiritual power of the assembly, I'm talking to some pastors here, may be controlled by power and authority directed against those evil demons, those evil principalities and powers who are working and continuing the trouble. Here's another case, individual lives. Maybe you're taken in the snare of the devil. Maybe you're depressed or hopeless. You can be restored to your place of assurance and have peace and joy in God. Here's another one. Attacks on physical health or social relationships. Oh, brother, that's a biggie. Or even financial matters. These attacks may often be traced to unseen workings of the devil and thus be overcome in the name of the Lord. Now, in a wider outlook, the international uproar, which threatened the ministry of the gospel through blocking access to needy fields and tying up the sources of financial support, must also yield to the faith that directs the weapons of God against the satanic barriers. Now, here's an Old Testament example that will fit in here. Remember Joshua? Yes, he was brought up under, in the tents of Moses. He was the Joshua, the son of Nun. And when Moses died, Joshua became the leader and led the tribe of Israel into the promised land. And the countenance of Joshua was given such victory. We're talking about his face. The countenance of his face was given such victory by the God of Israel that no man was able to stand before the face of him all the days of his life. Hallelujah. You see, our wrestling as Christians, unlike that of Joshua, is not with the seven nations of Canaan, but we are wrestling with principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. And these are the forces that are responsible for every opposing world issue. But thank God, they too shall fall before you and I. They shall fall before the church, the body of Christ, when you and I are inspired and energized with a new vision of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, For we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And we rise up in the name and the authority of the Lord Jesus. And we refuse all interference. I'm not going to put up with anything. I refuse it in Jesus' name. And that's what Samuel Adams did. He refused to yield to the pressure of all of his friends, 20 of his friends, right there in that Congress. He refused to bow down to peer pressure. He became, on the outside, what he was on the inside. I have a funny little story here. You know, when you're a grandma, you got to hear a few little funny stories about the grandkids. And I remember Eileen, who's now 13, when she was just about 3 or 4, we took her to the zoo. It was a hot day in Texas, and the animals were miserable, including the gorilla, who had just had seen one too many children. So by the time little four-year-old got up there, the gorilla would not make any contact. He was upset. And so this little girl and her little mind said, let's pray for the gorilla. He seems to have a problem. So that night at family altar, she gets up on the hearth of the fireplace and she pretends to have church. Now at church, you sing a few songs and then you have a sermon. So she was inspired to sing a song that came up in her little heart. And this is how it went. Of course, I don't have a four-year-old voice, but you get the picture. I saw a monkey. We didn't know what would come next. We're sitting there, you know, as grandparents, parents, trying to participate in this church service. But she's saying, I saw a monkey. It had trouble on the face. But then she knew that we had prayed, and she sang the victory. She said, but our God is able to wipe trouble off the face. Our God is able. Well, if God is able to wipe trouble off that monkey's face, and I'm sure he had a better day the next day because of prayer, how much more he is able to wipe trouble off our faces who reflect the light and the glory of the living Lord Jesus Christ on the inside of us. Oh, friend, I've preached myself happy again. Thank you for joining me, and join us tomorrow. God bless you. Shalom.
Join Dr. Billy Brim and the Worldwide Prayers every Wednesday at noon Central for a time of Spirit-led prayer. This gathering is held on the beautiful landscape of Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks near Branson, Missouri. You are invited to attend in person or our live stream at billybrim.org.
Are you interested in America's rich religious history? Then you don't want to miss Robert Morgan's book entitled 100 Verses That Made America. This book explores how biblical principles have influenced our nation's founding and growth, showcasing 100 of the most significant verses that have shaped our nation. And now, you can get your very own copy for just $20 plus shipping at billybrim.org. That's B-I-L-L-Y-E-B-R-I-M, billybrim.org. Or, if you prefer, call 1-800-972-3447. So don't miss this opportunity to deepen your understanding of America's spiritual heritage. Order today 100 Bible verses that made America.